Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about a new Tesla price target from CFRA. They have increased their Tesla price target following the changes to the electric vehicle tax credit. We'll talk about that. We've also got a lot of news out of China. Tesla has reduced their wait time estimates in the design studio. Got a little bit of new information on the Sichuan energy situation. Then we've got a handful of interesting Tesla energy updates and a couple other items as well. Quick look at the stock, a pretty narrow band of trading for Tesla today, not a lot going on. Tesla closing down 0.4%, just below $909 per share, while the Nasdaq did finish up 0.2% on the day. Quick note, we are now 1 week away from when Tesla will start trading on a post-split adjusted basis. Sticking with the stock for a minute, we've got a new analyst update here from CFRA. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more of these yet with the changes to the electric vehicle tax credit, but CFRA today is raising their price target on Tesla from $1,125 before, now to $1,245. They say that this is based on a 2024 price to earnings of 60 times. So they've increased their earnings per share estimates for the next 3 years. These are non-GAAP numbers, but they've increased 2022 expectations from $11.90 per share up to $12.45. So about a 5% increase there. Their 2023 number from $16.20 to $17.25. And then their 2024 estimate from $18.75 before, now to $20.75. Take 60 times that. That gets you to their price target. Of course, this is a 12-month price target, as is usually the case with analyst price targets. So they would actually expect the stock at that point in time, 2024, to be a little bit higher and trading at a higher multiple, because every analyst is going to be using a discount rate in some way, shape, or form. Which I really mentioned because if we go back a couple of months when Tesla was trading at about $620 per share or thereabouts, over the last 12 months at that point in time, Tesla, from a non-GAAP earnings perspective, had earned about $9 per share. So at the time, the multiple was 68 times non-GAAP earnings. CFRA here is basically saying that that is closer to the multiple that they think it should be trading at in 2024, not the middle of 2022. I mention that because it really highlights how silly that pricing was at that point in time, as we've been talking about for months, because really as a company goes along and gets further into its growth, that earnings multiple should be coming down a little bit. That's the price to earnings compression that we have been talking about as well. Certainly CFRA would have some multiple compression in their forecast. And even with that, they don't really think Tesla should be at that low of a multiple until 2024. So hopefully that kind of makes sense. I know it's a little bit esoteric, but point is just to emphasize how unreasonable that multiple was at that time. Anyway, CFRA went on to explain, quote, "The signing of the Inflation Reduction Act was the equivalent of Christmas in August for Elon Musk and company, as we pegged Tesla as the biggest winner from the new law, as most versions of the industry's two best-selling EVs, Tesla's Model Y and Model 3, become eligible for the $7,500 federal EV tax credit effective January 1st, 2023. Previously, all Tesla vehicles had phased out of the tax credit eligibility after hitting the 200,000 units per manufacturer cap. Moreover, the new law significantly alleviates concerns about EV competition, as roughly 70% of the 72 EV models currently for sale in the US suddenly became ineligible for the tax credit under the new law. We reiterate our top pick status on Tesla and will update our estimates and target following the 3-for-1 stock split set to take effect on August 25th, end quote. So yeah, should have mentioned these are all pre-split numbers in terms of the price target and the earnings numbers that they're talking about here. As for the other comments, we definitely still need clarification on Tesla's eligibility for the credit and what that's going to look like. We talked a lot about that yesterday and other times, so definitely don't read too much into that comment, but I do agree that overall this is a significant tailwind for Tesla, and Tesla, as I've mentioned before, probably stands to benefit the most out of any company, despite some of the problems with this law. So I do agree with that point overall. The other point, though, was that this improves Tesla's competitive position because of ineligibility from 70% of other vehicle models. I mean, that can technically be correct, but that's kind of just as silly as GM talking about making 30 new EV models by 2025. The number of models is not important. We know that the volume is important, and Tesla's got 70% market share. The reason Tesla has that is because of their immense production volume, among many other factors, but the volume is really why Tesla stands to benefit the most from these changes. So those are my thoughts on this particular note, but I would expect that we'll be seeing a few different analyst updates as analysts take in this new information with the Inflation Reduction Act and make some changes to their models across all companies. I mean, I even mentioned for myself, because of this, I'll probably end up increasing my average selling prices on Tesla vehicles, probably for the entirety of my model starting in 2023. I'm just kind of waiting for real clarity on what exactly Tesla's eligibility is going to be, and I would guess there are other analysts kind of waiting as well. I think this note also gives good insight to how Wall Street tends to think about Tesla in general. Like, I think we're all pretty confident in Tesla's demand and the ability for Tesla to maintain that and grow it to the level that their production does as well. Wall Street as a whole, collectively, is always going to be more skeptical of that. So anything that alleviates any of those concerns, even if they're not valid concerns in the first place, is going to help with confidence and justification for more bullish or more aggressive forecasts. Perception is reality in the stock market, and in this CFRA note, we can already see a glimpse of perception starting to change a little bit. Let's keep some of those points in mind as we head to the next topic here, and that is delivery estimated wait times in China. Tesla's updated these in the Chinese Design Studio, basically reducing the estimated delivery timeframes by 4 weeks, kind of across the board. Saw some discussion around this today saying that wait times were cut in half. Not the case, definitely not the case. All wait times were well above 4 weeks, so not anywhere close to a 50% reduction. But for the Model Y standard range, that is now down to an estimated delivery timeframe of 4 to 8 weeks. The long range and performance Model Y, those are sitting at 16 to 20 weeks still, so still quite long, and Model 3 at 12 to 16 weeks. Now, Tesla wants to get these down. People don't want to wait that long for cars. Tesla's trying desperately to increase production to do that, and of course, with Shanghai, just completed those upgrades that we've talked about at length. But whenever wait times come down, people start to ask the question of, ooh, is this demand related? Which is why I said keep in mind what we just talked about with that CFRA note. Anything that can give investors and analysts more confidence in where Tesla's demand will be long term helps reduce the noisiness of those types of questions in circumstances like this and just gives more confidence in long term demand forecasts. This is also why a couple weeks back I noted how important it was to look closely at what's happening in California, because Tesla's got a couple of advantages from a localization perspective to supply California as much as they can out of Fremont. So it's probably one of the least supply constrained markets. Oh, and it just so happens that in California, the Model 3 and the Model Y are the two best-selling vehicles of any kind. So yeah, we don't need to be concerned about demand. As I've talked about before, there might be these little demand pockets in certain regions, certain periods of time, but it's very clear that demand is crazy high and growing very fast as well. I mean, anytime we're talking about wait times, there's a numerator and a denominator, so both production and demand. We know that production denominator is growing extremely quickly, especially right now in Shanghai, because you've got that Shanghai upgrade and you've got Giga Berlin coming online, which will alleviate some of the production that Shanghai needs to dedicate for the European market. So Reuters covered the shorter wait times today. Apparently Tesla did reply to them and cited the output ramp at Shanghai as one of the reasons. And then they also said that they usually deliver more of the cars they produce in Shanghai to Chinese customers in the latter half of each quarter. That being the infamous quarterly delivery wave, which of course still in effect for Shanghai as it is serving those exports. CNEV Post also mentioned that apparently Elon Musk's Weibo account mentioned a similar point today, though they say that apparently this was not actually posted by Elon, but rather an operations team. So anyway, we know how that goes. Tesla ships out vehicles in the first half of the quarter so that they can be delivered within the same quarter, then starts focusing on those shorter lead time domestic deliveries. If we look at the estimated wait times for the Model Y standard range, 4 to 8 weeks, well, there's 6 weeks left in the quarter. All right, next up, we've got a little bit more information on the Sichuan energy situation. Remember, we had talked about this a couple of days back, where factories in the area in China are having to close because of power restrictions. Those factory shutdowns are only supposed to be for about 6 days, but apparently the Shanghai government, according to a document that was shared by Kelvin Yang here, Bloomberg reported on this as well, but apparently they have asked that the power restrictions be removed for 16 auto part supplying factories supporting Tesla and SAIC Motor. So Kelvin's interpretation is that with this request, this will basically happen. But I do know that these shutdowns are something that Tesla is concerned about and are actively still working on trying to navigate a solution for. It doesn't sound like there would be any risk to August production because Tesla does have a backlog of supply, but if the power restrictions are not resolved, then there could be some risk for September production. So all said, right now it doesn't appear to be a major risk for any Q3 production, but we'll need to continue to keep an eye on it just in case things don't improve. The other report that we have out of China today is from Sina. They are saying that there may be a new version of the Model 3 on the way with a new battery from CATL. We've actually talked about this 2 weeks ago back in the August 3rd episode. This is the updated M3P battery from CATL, which don't get that confused with the Model 3 performance. A lot of people getting those mixed up a lot. But this would be the lithium iron phosphate manganese battery that CATL has been working on. And apparently, like we had talked about 2 weeks ago, they're close to being ready to ship this to Tesla. This article today is speculating that this would be used in a new Model 3 with more range, but the quote-unquote more range would probably be off of the standard range version. The previous report had said that these batteries were going to be for Model Y, so pretty much the same report we had talked about, but different vehicle. Not enough information to determine which is more likely, or maybe it'll go to both. All right, next up, we've got a few interesting Tesla energy stories here. We'll start off with the virtual power plant pilot program that Tesla has going in California, a couple of different energy providers there. I believe last night was the first scheduled event where the virtual power plant was providing energy. with Powerwall owners in this program earning $2 per kilowatt hour delivered during the event. Something that is really cool here is that Tesla shows the number of homes that are participating and actually the amount of power that is being provided across that entire network of Powerwalls. So they say that there are 2,342 fleet homes, could be multiple Powerwalls per home. And according to a screenshot here from Mr. Calico on Twitter, those homes were providing 16,606 kilowatts or 16.6 megawatts of power. This is extremely cool. It's so fun to think about these thousands of power walls in their individual homes all working together to get the power and the energy where it is needed. Stuff like this, I think, is going to go a long way in terms of people understanding the energy grid of the future and the critical role that stationary storage has in that grid. The individualized, distributed, and networked nature of this virtual power plant is just so exciting to see in action. Another very exciting update for Tesla Energy is that Tesla in the design studio for energy products, so solar roof, solar panels, power walls, Tesla has updated the design studio to show the 30% investment tax credit, which was increased from 26% before with this Inflation Reduction Act. So we talked about this before, but only briefly, this is also a huge deal. This was 26% for 2022, it was supposed to be 22% next year and then go to zero. It's now 30%, and I think that runs for the next 10 years, and that applies for both solar and storage, as shown in the design studio by Tesla today. Definitely underappreciated at the moment, but this is a huge, huge deal. So exciting to see that reflected on Tesla.com. The other thing that's kind of interesting popping up on Tesla.com in the jobs section is a job opening in Austin, Texas for a product operations manager of retail electricity. The job description says that this person will be central to the success of Tesla's emerging electricity retail business. So that would be the business of selling electricity directly to consumers. They go on to say that this role will initially focus on the Texas market, growing the business and the team. The role will also contribute to innovation in electricity retail offerings and expansion into future markets, as well as driving improved retail operations in the US and globally. The first bullet point under what you'll do reads, support the launch, operation, and growth of Tesla Energy retail offerings. So, Tesla the utility, I guess, on the cusp of being born here very quietly in Texas. Everyone for a few years now has been waiting for the energy business to turn on. It kind of feels like we're getting pretty close to that point where this business starts to really show what it can be and starts to become too significant to ignore any longer. Lots to be excited about right now with Tesla Energy. All right, last couple of things for today. Just a quick update from Elon on Twitter. James Stevenson asking if Tesla could use the interior camera to automatically position the side view mirrors based on where the occupant is sitting, rather than having to manually set that up for yourself the first time. Elon, of course, saying, well, in the future with robotaxis, side mirrors won't be needed, but yes, they will get that added. Sawyer Merritt then asked if people will still be able to remove the side mirrors off of the Cybertruck. Remember, the original prototype did not have those. Elon said, modifying your car after delivery is legal in America, so yes. Of course, the essence of the question is whether Tesla would be designing that to be a simple process or not, and Elon not really answering that, so hopefully, but I guess TBD. All right, last item, just in the interest of full coverage, we won't spend a ton of time on this, very political, but Axios reporting that Elon Musk did attend a donor retreat for Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. He also reportedly spoke at the event. One of his messages was for the Republican Party to be a little bit more inclusive. Axios says that the bottom line is that Musk didn't leave the impression that he'd be writing checks to either the Congressional Leadership Fund, McCarthy's PAC, or Republican campaign committees. This also seems to explain a little bit of the context from Elon's tweet yesterday where he said that he supports the right half of the Democrats and the left half of the Republicans. All right, well, don't love wrapping up on politics, but that is where we'll leave it for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, August 19th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.